Online Podcast 179. Oh! What's the big yawn? Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Online Podcast. You may have wandered around on Penang Hokkien and ended up here on Online Podcast. As some of you may already know that I do have another podcast called Penang Hokkien, and you may be able to find it at penanghokkien.com. However, I haven't been able to really get the Malaysian or Penang people to listen to the podcast much. I mean, I've successfully making since last August, a year ago. Not August. July is when I started doing that. Last July, I started doing a podcast called PenangHokkien.com, and I managed to get me from about 20-some people to about 50, and then about 100 or so, and then slowly grow to become about 500, and really purely by word of mouth. And also from several newspaper articles, the first one from the Oriental Daily didn't really do much, but it was a good article regardless. And on the second one from Guanghua Jitbo actually did much better. I mean, I did, because it was posted online as well, so I did get some traffic from there. But some other forums also forwarded some traffic over to PenangHokkien.com. However, the thing that I want to let you know is this weekend, no, not this weekend, it was, I think it was Friday, okay. Last Friday, an article came out on The Star, and you can find thestar.com.my, that is .com.my. You can find that particular website. It's probably the most read newspaper, printed as well as online newspaper in Malaysia, did a story about me, which I knew. I mean, they emailed me to send me the questions, and I answered them through email. So the whole interview was done through email. Did I record? Yes, I did. And so I knew about the thing. In fact, I probably even talked about it on one of my shows. Which one was it? Did I talk about it? I don't know. I was just, you know, I had to take pictures on a Monday, and some, you know, those who go to my Flickr account, I actually posted those pictures even before the interview came out. Three pictures out of those over 100 pictures that I took, well, not me, but Bruce took for me, and all of them were fat and like really ugly. Well, because, you know, it's bad lighting and we didn't really plan for it, and so it was all done in a hurry, so it was horrible. I was so, not depressed, but I was so upset about it, and I have to go in and, you know, touch up some of the Photoshop some of this image. So, you know, make it a little bit more dramatic, you know, add a little bit more depth of field and all those kind of stuff. So, I did that and send those pictures in American time. It would be Mondays when I did that. Because I took the photographs on Sunday evenings and then doctored it a bit, make it a little bit prettier, and then sent that over to the newspaper. And I think on perhaps Wednesday is when I received an email from the reporter who did the story that he has already submitted the photographs and the story to the editor. And I was like, oh, fine, so it should be coming out maybe in a week. And of course, it came out on Friday. I mean, I wasn't expecting it to be that soon. And I was chatting with our beloved Steve, right? And Steve and I has really become really good friends through podcasting and just through chat online. And so I was just, you know, normal day. In fact, I planned on going out for a walk, because on the was it a Thursday or Wednesday, I went out for a walk, for a over two mile walk, and it was really nice and worked up a bit of a sweat. And so I thought I was going to go out and do that again on Friday. No. I take it all back. I could not take that back though, however. So remind me to tell you about food. Like, how do you remind me though, if I forget? Make notes. Let me write it down. No, not really. I'll just jot a mental note down. So if you, it's actually, I got the time wrong because I'm sleepy right now. It's actually on Monday I submitted the photographs and the last set of questions. And then on, I believe on Wednesday, it's when I received it, which was what I told you. I received the reporter's email saying that it has been submitted to the editor. And then on Thursday Thursday is the date it came out. Here it is. It was Friday in Malaysia. So around, I was chatting with Steve, like I said, in the evening of Thursday evening. And I was just regular old chat, and I was going to go out for a walk, and I was telling Steve that, okay, I'm going to chat with you for a few moments because I was kind of bored. And so I was chatting with him, and I think we were doing video chat. Yeah, I think we did video chat. So I was showing him the house, our living room and all that, and put on my tiara and all that for him to be silly. And so after that, I started to get quite a few email messages. Realized that I do not say emails. I try not to, at least. I'm going to be quiet. No, okay, anyway. And I started to get quite a few email messages, bing, 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 coming in. And within a short period of time, I think within about 30 minutes, I get about 10 to 15 email. And I don't usually do. And this is not just a regular email. This is email coming from my website's registration. Now, when you go to online podcasts or go to Penang Hokkien, on Penang Hokkien, there is a live chat box. And to avoid spam, I actually ask people to register before they can take part in live chat. And people do sometimes, you know, I would say maybe 10% of them would do that. And finally, I received new registration, and every once in a while I get that. So I wasn't surprised, but the thing is, it came in sort of pouring in like about 10 email within 30 minutes. And so I was telling Steve that, am I getting spammed? I look at the email addresses and they all look real. And so finally it struck to me that, and I told Steve that, do you think the article came out? Because I told Steve about that. And then I was like, maybe I should call home and ask my parents to check on the local newspaper to see if they see it. And then I remember that the reporter, what's his name now, Chung Kui Kim, he told me that it's going to be on the online version as well. So I went over to the online version, and right then at around 8 p.m. to 8:30 is when I was receiving all those registration. I went in there, and there it is. Oh, let me see. Let me see if I can pull up the article again. And I'll put a link there for those of you who haven't read the news stories. You can go there. And the title was Penangite. Penangite is kind of like Grobenite, or, you know, those, the people off ite. Penangite is people from Penang. So it says the headline was Penangite in U.S. starts Hokkien podcast. And it was right smack in the middle of the nation section. If you go to thestar.com.my/news, that was the picture of me in my studio and right there. And so I was all excited. I was like, oh my gosh, Steve, it's out, it's out. And so, and I quickly went into my website to see if there are traffics, and I have not seen that much activity before entirely. I've not seen it. But because when you go online, you can actually see on my live chat box that how many people were there. And it's constantly about 6 or 7 or 8 or 9, sometimes 10 guests visiting the site. So I was so all excited. And then more and more and more emails started to pour in. And this is the registration. And like I said, I don't have, I don't require you to register it at Penang Hokkien, but if you, only if you want to use the chat box. Now, obviously, the way the story was covered, they didn't really talk much about podcasting. It was sort of a matter of fact, you know, podcast, you should already know what my podcast is. And they just talk about podcasts and talk about how my, and you go read it yourself. I'll put a link on my website. And it's a very nice story. And it pretty much sum up the fact that that podcast united a lot of people from Penang, who are currently living abroad, not currently in Penang, sort of unite them all together. And so a lot of people really have the impression that it is just a forum or it's just a website with stories. And so a lot of people were there thinking that the chat was like the main thing, and they were going in there to register themselves and start chatting with each other, which is fine. I mean, it's totally fine. And so I went there and said, oh my gosh, there's so many people there. And finally, when it's, of course, on Friday after I woke up, and of course I was checking my stats too, you know, I can see my downloads the latest episode. It's going from 30, I started with like about 100 and some download, and then maybe 80 something, and then 60 something, and then about maybe 20, 30 something download. And then hit on that day that it came out, the download quickly jumped up to about, you know, 200 or 300 right away. And then slowly and slowly built it. I think when Steve was online with me, it went up to maybe to about 500, 400 something, and 500 downloads. So I was all excited, right? Getting some publicity for my Penang Hokkien podcast. And then I got so excited that I did not go out to walk, because I was really on my computer. I was feeling all excited and warm, and you know, it's just that getting the recognized it's quite nice, you know, people doing a story and about Penang Hokkien. And so I went in there and started chatting with people and telling them, okay, they were telling me when they heard about the story, and it just, they said it a few minutes ago, I read the story, so I came over here to check it out, and it's really fun. And so, very quickly the numbers went up, and I don't know how many listens I finally picked up, but, you know, even an additional 100 listeners would be a great deal for me. So I'm looking forward to giving you more reports about how it actually does impact the traffic, because the first initial surge, kind of like iTunes, is probably not a number that you would count on, because, you know, you may have all this spike of listeners that is checking out the website and listening to it, and they may, you know, not everyone would like it. Excuse me. And so it's going to be fun to see how it's going to turn out, but it's definitely going to add more listeners for sure. Now, people who listen to the show don't necessarily have to register themselves, but those people who register were people who want to chat on the live chat box. And as of today, as of this recording, which is this weekend, I already have over 300 registers just within the release of the article until now. Now, let me go check and see if I can get the number from my Libsyn to see how, you probably don't care, but I just think it's so exciting for me, and it will last for a few days and it will dwindle off, my excitement that is. But please bear with me, because it's such a nice feeling to be recognized, to be made known. I mean, I don't care if you like it. I just want the opportunity to have people come over and check it out. And if they do like it, great. If they don't, I don't even mind. And, you know, with the said exception that online podcast is relatively tiny, compared to the listeners. Oh my lord. Let me see. Wow. Okay, so as of now, I have about 1,813 listeners. Oh my gosh, my iTunes subscription has gone way up. It used to be, I have more subscribers using iTunes, or not iTunes, but you know, subscribers in Penang Hokkien, no, in online podcast. And I was, you know, having probably most of my listeners are subscribers. So I think when I report my numbers about 250, most of them, like about 230 something, are actually subscribers. Now I have 400, and this is only a few days ago, I have 433 subscribers now. This is within 6 days. So hopefully those 433, maybe hopefully a big chunk would stay. If it stay within that 400 number, I'll be very, very happy. And I'm going to make people... Now, of course, I have a lot of web downloads for first-timers, and also people in Malaysia, they don't quite get the idea of podcasting yet. Well, actually, for really people here even, they don't really get the concept of podcasting yet, so they're not subscribed. So this is a hint, hint. For those of you like over 100, almost 200 listeners out there who are listening to this on the web, perhaps if you may, if you can, of course, is download iTunes and then go to the music store and look for my show, type in Online or John Ong, and then click on subscribe. And it's free. And then you'll get the show very regularly. In fact, I may actually put in some interesting, exciting, juicy bits exclusively for the subscribers only. And I may... I don't know, I haven't thought of something, I just thought of that, you know, off the top of my head. And so I am very excited about the whole experience, and so I thought that I would document it down and let you know about it. Now, if you are one of those wanderers coming from the star, because they didn't put a URL on there, but my online podcast, they mentioned about online podcast, they didn't really put a link there. But people who wandered their way into Penang, online podcast through Penang Hokkien from the star, I want to welcome you. And this is my personal one, a personal podcast that I talk more about my life, what's going on. And sometimes I still go crazy, but at least I go crazy in English so that people can understand me more for my listeners here on the online. Because most of my listeners here are English speakers, or at least listen or understand, do not understand Hokkien. So welcome, welcome. In fact, I don't see a huge number of new subscribers for online podcasts or even just downloads. So I don't really know. But if you are listening to this because you read the article on PenangHokkien.com or read the article on thestar.com.my, please go to the comment section on this page and leave me a comment, or send me an email at online@gmail.com. Just let me know that you came from the star. And my email is, like I said, onglineonline@gmail.com. And you can also leave me a comment on my website using the My Ching Chong message, and just click on the, if you have a microphone, just click on the talk button and you can leave me a message. Or you can also call my comment line. I haven't had much, I haven't received as many as I used to, the comment line, which is 206-888-JOHN, and you can leave me a voice comment there. So I didn't really plan on talking this much about the coverage. So I'll put a link there, and I just, you know, I'm so excited about it. I know it will go away eventually. Maybe I think by the time you listen to this show, I'll probably be over it already. Maybe not. Maybe for about a week, I'll be all excited about it. So, thank you for letting me tell you this excitement of mine, which is probably very boring for you. So let's move on to something that we can all relate to: food. So I was having this Quizno sub sandwich after I came back from work this afternoon. And so it was delicious. It was one of those, what is it called? I think it's like some prime rib cheese steak sandwich. And so they would, the prime rib was what yummy. I mean, very tender meat and thinly sliced. And then they would put into this basket and dip into this au jus to use the au jus to heat the meat up, but it also kind of give a little bit more juiciness to it. Oh my lord, it was delicious. It was yummy. I ate that thing down very quick. I got a small sandwich because, you know, the small sandwich is pretty big. And it, the good thing is, the reason why I like it is because it has twice as much meat as a regular sandwich. And I like to eat a sandwich that is loaded with meat. I know I'm not that kind of person that like the bread more than the filling. When I make a peanut butter jelly sandwich, the peanut butter and the jelly are actually as thick as the bread slice. And when I, of course, when I eat butter, I would, you know, use a little bit of bread. So I would spread some bread on my butter and then eat it that way. So I like more stuff middle than the bread itself. So I was eating that. It was delicious. But anyway, I'm going to finish up maybe today's show by just telling you about, or finish up the stories I was telling you on Thursday. I was talking about tiffin. Of course, I didn't think of the word tiffin until much later, when I was looking for the picture to put it out on my website. I was like, oh, what is it called? What is it called? I keep forgetting. I hate that. Don't you hate that? And okay, I'm going to go back to the food in a moment, but don't you hate it when you know a certain word and then it just would not come to your lips? You know, it just won't come out through your mouth. Like last week, it was very funny. Last week I was at work and there's this file that I need to label. You know, I like to label. I have several layers of file and I like to, this is artwork. So in the artwork in like Photoshop, you have all these layers, right? And I go on and label them individually. And one of the things that's in that picture is those stanchions. The stanchions where you cue up. Is that what it's called? Yeah, stanchions. And I'm sorry. Stanchions that I was labeling and I forgot what is it called. And it bugged me. You know, not only could I not continue working because I wanted to label, I could have labeled it velvet ropes or something, you know. I could not get on focusing on my work because I just needed the words. I know the word stanchions and I just forgot about it. And so I went online. I went to iChat and the first person that I went to was Steve because he was online and he's a Brit, right? So he's supposed to know English because English came from there supposedly. And so I went there and I asked him and he knew that he knew that, okay, there's a word for it, but he also couldn't think of it. I was like, oh my gosh, even you? And so I went over to another person online, which is Mikey Pod. I said, okay, what is this? What is this word? You know, the thing that you use at the theater, you know, for the red carpet and you divide it up line and all those, what do you call it? And he couldn't think of it either. And then I saw Adam, from the Boy Elroy. Oh shit, what is it called? The Boy Elroy, I'm going to go to my iTunes because it used to be from the Krebs cycle. Now, he probably hates it when we talk about that, but it's, he ended the Krebs cycle and started a new show with JT called Pink Men Wear Clothes. Pink Men Wear Clothes. It's my nickname for the show, but it's actually called Real Men Wear Pink. But the show is This Boy Elroy? Yeah, This Boy Elroy, I think it's called. And This Boy Elroy. It's a wonderful sort of very intimate journal type thing. And he got a binaural microphone just like mine also. So it's wonderful. I really enjoyed that show. I did not listen to the Krebs cycle, I have to admit, but I just, because I never get a chance to, and plus there's so many podcasts out there. And so I really suggest that you go check it out. This Boy Elroy is listed on iTunes Music Store already. If not, you can go to thisboyelroy.com and see... yeah, you just only have to remember that. Thisboyelroy.com, and then it will bring you to the website. And it's a wonderful site. Like I said, it's a very personal journal type style of podcast, which I absolutely love. And I think Adam from This Boy Elroy also mentioned that he is beginning to like this style of podcast, which I've always loved. You know, I just love that. So anyway, so he did not get the word from me either. And finally, I think Steve finally got Princess Purple Chick to give him the word or something, because you know she supposedly has a huge, not vagina. Oh my gosh. I'm sleepy. She supposedly has a big, huge coochie. No, she's supposed to have a big vocabulary. She's supposed to have this huge vocabulary in her. And he asked her, and I don't know whether she found out or he did a search, and he said, you know, these are the words that I found, stanchions, one of them. Say yes, it's stanchions. So anyway, so that was, oh my gosh, I wasted time just talking about, I didn't even talk about my phone, and it's almost time. But anyway, so don't you just hate that though, when you forget the word that you want to use? And I do that all the time, because, you know, English is definitely not my first language. And, oh my God, talking about English, this is so exciting. I received an email. Now, all of you, if you've been listening for a while, and if you've been subscribed to my feed, you will probably get my video feed. Remember the Crick camera video? And I also talk about it on my podcast as well. Guess what? They found my podcast, and one of the sales associates actually emailed me and asked me, why do you think it's funny? Why do you think Crick is funny? And so I explained to her, it's like, you know, I like to poke fun of my Asian-ness, and I like to make jokes out of my Asian-ness, and so... my English. And so she emailed me, and I'm going to try to whenever I'm free, because right now I'm busy, still at work. I'm going to find a time where I can actually go into the store, go into the Crick camera shop, and actually talk to the manager there. It's going to be fun. So I'm looking forward to that. And I will keep you posted when I do that. It's so funny because, yeah, can you imagine that? Like talking about somebody like Crick Camera, and then the people from the store emailed you. Because I was like, there's no way they will be able to find this, right? I mean, how do they know what to search for? I guess they could search for Crick, I guess. Let me search for Crick Camera and see what comes up. Crick Camera. And, you know, for those of you who did not get it, Crick is like, the reason why it's funny to me is because it's like click, like Chinese people who cannot, or Chinese or some Asian tongues that are not used to pronouncing the R sound would say click. And, you know, how we always make fun that Chinese people can't pronounce click or crick. And so it was hilarious. And I think even Madge thinks that's funny, but I searched for Crick and there's nothing. I don't think anything came up from my post. I don't know how they found. Maybe they were just, you know, they are already listeners of the podcast. Oh my gosh, no, it's there. This is like the fourth page online podcast. And I click on there and it brings me to podcastdirectory.com. And right there, it says Crick. What is it? It says Crick Camera Shop. Videos coming by your coupon, blah blah blah. Yeah, that's one of the show notes on there. So yeah, so it is. So okay, so Crick Camera. Of course, you know, it's the second time I didn't talk about the thing that I wanted to talk about, really. But since it's going to be a mono show, I may go a little bit longer than that. I'm going to really tell you Oh, maybe should I save that for later when I actually have time to spend on? Okay, maybe I'll do that. I'm sorry. I am sorry. But what I really wanted to tell you is because I was listening to Adam from This Boy Elroy, and also Mark, from, the chef Mark, and it just struck me that I don't know if you some of you probably, if you fancy cooking as a child, and hopefully still as an adult, you would probably remember the first few dishes you made. I was very proud of myself when I made that. In fact, the inspiration is kind of silly. Yes, I was inspired by my family, by my mother, because she's a very good cook. She doesn't cook a whole lot because she's a working mother, and that's why we, you know, cater food and using the tiffin, like last week's show that I talked about. But she, when she makes stuff, she's really good at that. And the chicken curry is one of the dishes that I sort of grew up with. It's not a typical Chinese family dish because it's a curry. And Chinese people typically, if you're from China, you probably don't make a lot of curry. But because of the Malaysian influence, my grandmother is actually Nyonya, which is a mix of, I think I talked about that a long time ago. If you're a new listener, then you probably don't know about this. My grandmother is a Nyonya, which is what we call straight Chinese. They are intermarriage. It's either intermarriage with Malay and Chinese people, and it could be marriage as in the real marriage itself, or it's a marriage, a mixture of Chinese and Malay culture. And the Malay dishes, the Southeast Asian dishes, consists of a lot of wet spices. Well, do you call wet spices? I don't know what it's called. It's like fresh spices, meaning shallots, lime, what is it called? Lime leaves, and curry leaves, lemongrass, yeah. Lemongrass, those kind of stuff and also galangal and those wax nuts and all those. And those are not dry curry powder mixture. It's actually wet, the ones that you actually use the mortar and pestle and actually pound it until you get this paste, and you use all the fresh ingredients. In fact, all the chili were actually fresh, and sometimes you and then you use that as the base of the curry. So this is something that we grew up cooking, or at least see my parents or my mom cook. I don't think my dad is a cook. He doesn't cook. He just eats like me, but I cook also. So, but anyway, I get a lot of my cooking influence from my parents, yes. But the thing that really gave me the opportunity to start cooking was I would go out eating in this restaurant. And when I talk about restaurant in Malaysia, typically it's not the fancy one. It's just one of those coffee shop that is open air and somewhat dirty, but they would have this food stall with a lot of dishes that they make. And one of the dishes would be sardines. Okay, this is canned tomato sardines. And I know it sounds kind of awful, but it would just have big rings of onions and red onions, and then with sardines over it, heated up sardines. And I would always want to make those dish because it looked very simple. So I told my mom, I want to make that. I wonder how you do that. And so I asked for my mom, I asked the permission from the store owner, the restaurant owner, said that, can I go back to the kitchen and look at how you prepare this dish so that I can make it at home? I was probably this little gay boy, maybe about 9 or 10 years old. I was fat too at the time. I was so round. And hopefully I can find some pictures of my roundness and then I can post it on the web. Not right now because I'm tired. Not this week, maybe sometime in the future. And so I would go back to the kitchen and watch them cook. And I see them, you know, preparing the onions, cutting the onions into rings and, put a little bit of oil and stir fry that with garlic and put the onions in there and stir fry it. And then they would just pour the sardines over the whole can. It's a tomato sauce already inside the sardines. I'm sure a lot of you know what I'm talking about. And then, especially the Brits. And you pour it in there and heat through it. And then they add additional, ketchup. and a tiny bit of water, and then they would then season it with pepper and salt. And it was very delicious. You serve it on top of the of steamed rice. I know some of you are probably grossing out, because, especially if you don't like sardines. This is canned sardines. And so, which means you can eat everything, the bones and everything. It's already kind of, you know, it disintegrated into the fish itself. So, you know, you can really chew on it. There's no, you know, swallowing bones and it'll poke on your throat or anything. It's all pretty much disintegrated into the dish. Disintegrated. Oh my God. And, so that was my first dish that I have, the dish that inspired me to cook. I was probably, like I said, I was probably 9 or 10 years old, and I would watch cooking show a whole lot, that little gay boy of me. I would watch a lot of cooking shows with my mom, and I enjoy watching that by myself. There's this show called Guali. Guali means walk. And there's this show called Guali, and I would watch that show all the time, and I would, that's before internet, right? So I would actually have to, they would talk about the ingredients, and I would write it down. And at that time, I don't even think we have VCR, or maybe the VHS tape was expensive, so we didn't have like blank tapes that I can tape it. We didn't even have a VCR then, maybe. But I would watch it, and I would write down the ingredients. So they first give you some ingredients before the show starts, and you have to quickly write it down. If you miss it, they're going to do it during the show as they're cooking. Excuse me. As they're cooking, they are going to show you the ingredients again. At the end of the show, they will also give you a full list again. And since it's prior to the internet age, you really have to write things down. So I would do that a whole lot. So sardine was my first dish that I cooked at a very tender age of 9, perhaps 8, 9. I don't know. Very, quite young. I'm always my mom's sous chef anyway. I would be in the kitchen peeling shallots and peeling garlic and making the wet, spices, you know, pounding with the mortar and pestle. And so I always help and also squeeze coconut milk. This is probably something that you're not familiar with. Coconut milk is, we call it coconut milk, or you can call it coconut, I guess, what, cream? It's not the sweet kind, not the Jamaican coconut cream. It's actually coconut flesh. That you know, crack open a coconut, you know that a coconut inside would have that white flesh. It's older coconut, meaning that the flesh itself is a little bit tougher and thicker. And then you would take all those flesh out, the white part. And then my days, you actually buy it from the store. They would crack one open and then almost like pry up the flesh and then put it in this coconut grinder. And it's very unique. If I can find the picture, I'll put it on the website because it's very unique. That's just a grinder. You drop it in there and then it will grind, almost like shred it into very fine pieces. And it would, you know, cover all over the machine. And there's this little plastic slab that would come down almost like a little mud catcher thing on your car, and it would catch all the coconut, and then they would put their hand into a plastic bag and kind of scrape them down, and then put it in this metal bucket, and then you go home. It's like, oh, can I have one coconut shredded? And they would do that for you. And then once you go home, you actually put water, soak a tiny bit of water in the shredded coconut, and this is fresh coconut. I'm not talking about dry one, the fresh one, and soak it in water, and then after a bit, you would actually then squeeze it. You like almost like mush it up in the water, and then you would then put it in a bag, and you would squeeze out hard as possible. And sometimes even if it's in the bag, you can actually twist it like when you're drying, wringing a dry towel or something. When you want to wring out a towel, you just twist it, ring it in the ringing motion, and then it would squeeze out all those the milk, the essence, you know, that creamy white stuff that's coming off. It looks like milk, and so we call it coconut milk. And then those are the basis of a lot of the stuff that you would eat, like you know, all this Indian, not Indian, but the usually Southeast Asian. So Thai curry, a lot of some Vietnamese curry and Malaysian food, definitely. And so those, I would be my mom's sous chef by doing those chores. And then finally, I made my own dish. I started to use my own knife as well. My mom would watch me use a knife. And I really haven't had it. Oh shit, touch wood. I'm not going to even talk about it. No, never mind. Forget about it. I'm not going to talk about knives. It scares me. I mean, I use it very well, but I just don't want to jinx myself and I'm not going to go there. Knock on wood. And then, I cut my own onions and then I stir fry my own garlic and onions and then I put in the sardines. In fact, I remember this. The owner, that lady who run that, who runs a restaurant, gave me 2 cans of sardines so that I can go home and make my own. I felt so proud when I made my own, and I feel all special and good and inspired, and my mom was very supportive, and so that is pretty much exactly the same feeling I'm having right now with Penang Hokkien podcasts attention that I'm getting. So I really wasted a lot of your time talking about a lot of crap, but I hope you enjoyed part of my excitement and also my cooking inspiration, I guess. You know, just making a simple dish, and that becomes really sparked off my cooking, the love of cooking and food, unfortunately, and then I've become fatter and fatter. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. I want to say welcome again, and thank you. I hope you would come back for more of this if you're new from the star. And you can always call my comment line, 206-888-JOHN. You can go to onlinepodcast.com and leave your voice comment at My Ching Chong, or just leave a regular old text comment and tell me stuff, you know, things and stuff. And I want to give a big thank you and a big hug and a big mwah to Steve for spending your time with me while I go through my excitement. Thank you so much, and to all of you, don't forget to smile. Ta-ta.